Hallelujah. Pastor Janet, how are you? Praise the Lord. Well, welcome all the pastors and all the elders and all the deacons and all the amazing men and women of God. Hallelujah. Called and chosen by God. Praise the Lord. That's the one. Not just called, but chosen. Thank you, Lord. Well, we'll start. And those are coming late, they can catch up with us. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask you, Lord, to breathe upon your word and watch over your word and to fulfill every one that comes out. Lord, breathe upon your word. Inspire us, oh God, as we train and dissect your word, Father, to build, Father, great leaders in this church. Those that you have called, not only just called, but you have also chosen. Well, Father, we honor to have men and women, Father, that have come. Lord, first of all, the common denominator is they love you. They love you, Jesus. We love you, and that's why we're here. We do this not because of anything, but because we love you. We honor the commitment, and we honor the commission that you've given us, the mandate that you've placed on this church. Father, we thank you. Holy Spirit, teach us and guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, hallelujah. Well, we're on our integrity session number 3. Tapping back into some of the things that we've learned on character and charisma. Understanding that character protects everything that we do. Amen? Values are built because of your character. And your character protects your gifts. You can have gifts, but Jesus said, always look for the fruits. Show us the fruits that you have, the fruits of the Spirit. And so it's really important for us to understand that we must always watch for fruits in other people's lives or those that are wanting to stand for character, stand for leadership. And so we're excited to have each and every one of you here today. Our first scripture is in Genesis 49, verse 22 to 24. And let's just read that, open up with that scripture as we go. Genesis chapter 49, verse 22. And it says, and Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well. His branches run over the wall. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him, and hated him. Sounds like some of us, amen? If anyone's going through that right now. But his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Hallelujah. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Hallelujah. If you have charisma without integrity, it's only a matter of time before people find you out. Amen? We've gone through that in our first session and our second session. Without integrity, you cannot sustain meaningful relationships. Your ability to lead and influence others is greatly reduced. Hallelujah. One of the greatest leaders that we talked about was Joseph. We discovered that Joseph was a man of character. Samson used his charisma to try and lead. And charisma will always fail you, but integrity and character always stand strong. So what is it about integrity that really makes a difference? Number one, integrity sets you apart. Amen. Charisma can make people stand out for a moment, but integrity can set them apart for a lifetime. You don't need to try to be like anybody else. Be the best you that you can be. I like that. Be the best you that you can be. All of us must always fall upon character or integrity more than charisma. We discussed that politicians like to have charisma. And a lot of them lead with charisma, but they don't last because the character is not there. Number two, Integrity creates trust. Hallelujah. Leadership can function only on the basis of trust. So if you behave in such a way that people no longer trust you, then you will lose your leadership foundation. Amen? Very, very important for us to understand that. Leadership can function only on the basis of trust. Trust is it takes a while to trust somebody, but it takes a moment or a second to break that trust when you fall in the area of character and integrity. And it's so hard to build it back up from ground up again. Nobody remembers all the great work you do. They just remember one sin. One of your failures, people remember for life. And nobody remembers all the great things that you've done. Hallelujah. Because of Joseph's unquestioned integrity, he rose up to a position of great trust under Potiphar, and the prison warder, and even the Pharaoh. Hallelujah. Potiphar trusted Joseph. Even the prison warder trusted Joseph, all the way up to the Pharaoh. Now, that's a man of integrity. That's a man that stood strong and stood true to his character and integrity. This is true in all relationships. Husband, wife, parent, child, pastor, congregation, employer, employee. Integrity makes trust possible. Trust makes leadership possible. I can trust you because you have that character. And so for me to trust you with the work in the church, I know that you will always do everything to the best of your ability with the spirit of excellence and with the spirit of, with your character and the values that you have in you. And if you break the trust with somebody, it will take a while before they will be able to trust you again. Somebody say amen to that. That is very true. Sometimes that trust has been violated so badly that trust is broken down permanently. Therefore, there is no more basis for relationship. Trust does not come automatically. It is earned. You heard this saying, you got to earn somebody's trust. You can't just say, oh, trust me. How can I trust you until I know that you've earned my trust for you? By letting your words be one with yourself, like we talked about. Jesus said, be holy for like my Father who is holy. Because his word is so true. Christ, Jesus, when he speaks, his word becomes law and it's true to us. And so we can always trust his word. I like the verse in Psalm 138, Psalm 138 verse 2 or 3. It says, I have placed my word above myself. That is a powerful statement from God himself. God said, I've got all the names that I have that you call me, but he said, but my word is above all those names. So we can really trust God. Trust is a very, very important thing for us as leaders in the church. And I trust you to do your work, that when I ask you to do something or if I delegate something to you, I trust that you will do it to the best of your ability. And do it I like to say, the spirit of excellence. Amen? We must be continually making deposits into our trust account. That's why they call it the trust account. When you put money there, that account trusts you, that you don't go and touch it again. Well, I'm learning a lot about the trust account. By living with integrity, making right decisions, and caring for others, later we may need to make a withdrawal. Hallelujah, I like that. When you trust somebody, when you've placed trust inside somebody, then you can always withdraw that from somebody. You can go to her, him or her and say, I want you to do this. And you know that you're going to withdraw character and integrity. Amen? Hallelujah. Later we may need to make a withdrawal. And when we do wrong or make a wrong decision, or if we are criticized or others try to tear us down because of jealousy or for other reasons, hallelujah. Anybody go through all that kind of stuff in church? Church is the best place for that kind of stuff. Oh, it's amazing how some people just are just looking for position without wanting trust first. I wouldn't go and say, I want to do this or do that until somebody trusts me enough to do it. Amen? And I trust all of you sitting in this room today, because I've known you for years now and I can trust you. Hallelujah. I can go to your trust account and get something from you that I know that it's going to deliver what I want you to do. Many leaders neglect to make regular deposits into their trust account, which stores around them, and then when they need to make a withdrawal, there's nothing there to draw from. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen to that. Very important. You must always make deposits into your trust account. I'm talking about character and integrity, okay? I'm not talking about money. Hallelujah. Yeah. Number three, integrity promotes what? Excellence. If you lead people, your integrity sets a standard for everyone who is following you. People will eventually become like their leader. Hallelujah. If leaders compromise on their standards, cheat, tell lies, or take shortcuts, so will their followers. Now, you know that we talked about politicians and governments, and we discussed that. And the worst thing that is that it is happening inside churches, place where God is looking for men and women of integrity. Hallelujah. And it's hard to find it these days, but it takes the few people to do that. If you lead people, your integrity sets a standard for everyone who is following you. Amen? Integrity means that you will aim for excellence in everything you do. There is no unimportant things. Somebody say amen to that. Everything is important in leadership. There is no unimportant things. Everything must be important to you. Everything you do reveals your true character. Hallelujah. And there's a saying here in Oswald Chambers said, watch the things you shrug your shoulders over. Things that you shrug your shoulders over. Oh, I know, that's all right. Things like throwing pieces of paper or chewing gum. You know, I drive now in the days and got chewing gum in my mouth. This morning, when the window's up and I was about to go, and the Holy Spirit says, what's the things you shrug your shoulders? I went, kept it in the car. If the Spirit is starting to talk to you like that with little things like rubbish and throwing rubbish and collecting rubbish, then you know you're on the right path. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. If it says, watch the things that you shrug your shoulders over. Number four, character creates self-discipline. Hallelujah. Great leaders always have self-discipline. One of the greatest generals in World War II, Dwight Eisenhower, said, there are no victories at bargain prices. It's full price. You want victory in Christ, you want victory in the church, you want victory in your life, then pay the price for it. Amen. There's no half bargain price, there's no discount. Yeah. In integrity. Integrity, full price. Hallelujah. When it comes to self-discipline, people choose one of the two things. Either they choose the pain of self-discipline, which comes from sacrifice and growth, or they choose the pain of regret, which comes from taking the easy road and missing opportunities. Hallelujah. Each person makes the choice. I talked about coming to a crossroad and asking where the right path is and then following that path. That's a powerful scripture. And we must always make the decision of going on the rugged path. Smooth roads are great, but it won't build you up as a person. When you go through some rough roads and some rugged roads, then your character starts to become strong. Amen. Hallelujah. It's tested, it's trialed on that road, and you can survive. And when you get to a smooth road, it's easy life. Hallelujah. Leadership also involves stress. Oh, somebody say amen to that. How well we all know that. But stress can be productive or destructive. Depends. Here's what a popular American author, Fred Smith, said about it. If you're going to have the responsibility position of leading, you can simply expect stress. Stress is always here to stay, but it depends on what you do with it. Amen? But there's a big difference between stress and distress. There is a healthy stress which pulls you together, and there is the unhealthy stress, which is distress, that pulls you apart. Healthy stress is positive, and unhealthy stress is negative. So think of a submarine. When a submarine goes down, in order to compensate for an outside pressure, they pressurize the inside. And you can think of your life, or I think of my own life, the same way. Create an even pressure so that the pressure outside doesn't destroy you. Amen? Hallelujah. We talked about, I was talking to some people about stress and stressing over some things. And, you know, I think I preached that one time, and I said, there are some things in life that you cannot change. We just got to accept it and move on. Because you try to solve it, there's some problems in life that you can't solve. There are some people in life that you can't change. So accept it, move on. Don't stress over things like that. Don't stress over people. Don't stress over, something that you're doing in church or some work that you're doing or whatever task that you are actually doing, stressing over it. Sometimes it's good to just go, you know what? I can't solve this. I can deal with this, so I think I'll just let it go. I'm not talking about incomplete work. I'm just talking about stressing over something that is totally unnecessary. When circumstances pressure me, I must have a strength on the inside to offset that outside pressure. And I find stress is very healthy as it gives energy. It gives emphasis to what you are doing. And so I simply expect it and keep it healthy rather than unhealthy. Hallelujah. How do we build up strength on the inside? By living a life of genuine integrity, faithfulness, and accountability. By regular times in the Word of God, praying and worshiping Him. One of the best places to deal with stress is going to worship. Just have your own prayer time and just go into worship with God and let all the stress go. When you come up to a place where you go, you know what, I don't want to think about this too much anymore. I've come to a place where I don't worry about those things anymore. Just give it to God. We talk about it all the time. But we must do it. It's important for us to do it. Hallelujah. Our second scripture is in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. And we'll just read it together. In verse 32, it says, Daniel chapter 11, verse 32 says, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God, hallelujah, somebody say amen to that. People who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. The word says people who what? Know their God. Not people who know God or know about God. It's people who know their God. When you know your God, you will always have confidence in what He does, that He can take care of all this. It says people who do wicked against the covenant, He shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. If you're currently leading people, you probably have some measure of both charisma and integrity. Amen? You have to still have a little bit of charisma, but not rely on charisma all the time. Because charisma comes and goes, but integrity and character stand strong. The question is, which one are you relying on to lead? It's a good question for leaders here tonight. Which one are you relying to lead? Are you leading with character, integrity? Or are you leading with charisma? The answer may be found in your response to this question. As time goes by, does it get easier or harder to lead? It's a good question, huh? Don't answer it. It's a good question for you to answer. As time goes by, answer it to yourself. Does it get easier or harder to lead? I think one of the greatest things that I find now is that it's easier to lead now, because we know that we've built character and integrity in this church so much that it's not hard anymore. You don't need charisma to try and please people anymore. Charisma is actually to draw people. I think you remember me saying that nobody likes you. They only like what you do. And then when you don't have it anymore, nobody likes you anymore. They just like your gifts. They love your gifts. And that's why charisma doesn't last, but your integrity lasts forever. Amen. Without integrity, leadership becomes harder to sustain. You constantly have to perform to get people to notice you. But with integrity, as time goes by, leadership strengthens, builds, and continues to attract people. Hallelujah. Your integrity will draw people. You know, when I said that if we stay in the place of walking blameless before God, you watch God bring the remnant of people that are wanting to walk like that. You know, there are people out there that are sick and tired of playing church. And they will, you know what, there's few reasons why people go and go to church, because the leaders are not, there's no integrity anymore in church. And there are good people that are sitting there going, you know what, I'll just stay home. But when you have a church that has people or leaders in the church and just overall congregation walking in a place blameless before God and carrying integrity in the church, and you watch the people come into this place. There are people that will walk out of this place because the word, see, the Bible says the word will clean us up. Amen? It's not our job. I can't clean you, but the word of God can clean you. So the things that we're doing in this church, it's for integrity's sake. We've seen so many problems in churches where pastors live double standard lives and leaders live double standard lives and still functioning in church. Where is the integrity there? Where do we draw the line? Amen? And so when you lead with integrity, as time goes by, your leadership strengthens, builds, and continues to attract people. You will attract the right kind of people to come to the church. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 14 to 16. Let's go to 1 Samuel. Oh, we got the slides working. I mean, here it is. Yeah. Better take my glasses and read it. In everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. When Saul saw how successful he was afraid of him. But all of Israel and Judah loved David because he led them in their campaigns. Hallelujah. See that? In everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. And then it says in 15, when Saul saw how successful he was afraid of him. He was afraid of him not because of his success. He was afraid of him because of his integrity. People will not come close to you if you're a man and a person of character. Those that do not flow with your spirit or with how you operate will always stay away from you because you draw a certain kind of people. Hallelujah. And the church and you as a leader, even in your own group or home groups at home, you will start to see the changes in people and drawing the right people to you. Hallelujah. Verse 29 to chapter 29 to 30. Still on 1 Samuel. Hallelujah. It says, Saul became still more afraid of him, and he remained in his enemy the rest of his days. The Philistine commanders continued to go out to battle, and as often as they did, David met with more success than the rest of Saul's soldiers, and his name became well known. Hallelujah. Now, there's a man of integrity. God does not want us to help him. Can you hear me, please? God doesn't need your help. He needs your partnership. That's all. Some of us try to help God, and we go ahead and do things, and then it doesn't work. And God says, I didn't need your help. I just want you to partner with me and listen to what I'm doing, or listen to me and follow what I'm saying. And that's really what it is. When we come to a place of obedience, it becomes really easy to do things in God. Because obedience is what God walks on. And if he doesn't seek obedience, he stays away from whatever it is that you're doing. So it's important for us as leaders to understand that. Sometimes we get excited and we go, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Hang on a minute. God doesn't need you to change. And David understood that. David, Bible says he was what? He was a man after God's own heart. And with that alone, God fought all the battles for Dave. Hallelujah. Number 6, integrity gives staying power. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Integrity gives staying power. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hallelujah. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2 says, looking into Jesus, what? The author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. For the joy that was set before him. Hallelujah. That's a sermon on Sunday. I love that. For the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right-hand side of the throne of God. Hallelujah. If you're currently leading people, you probably have some measure of both charisma and integrity. During the tough times that all the leaders face, integrity has the ability to carry you through, which is something that charisma can never do. When you are weary and inclined to quit, and the self-discipline of character keeps you going. When you become discouraged or are misunderstood or opposed, hallelujah, somebody say amen to that. Being a leader or a pastor of a church, you'll always be misunderstood. Always. Your strength of character will enable you to respond appropriately and to weather the storm without giving into the pressures to compromise your integrity. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Never compromise your integrity. It's very important for us. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 20. Papa Joe's been talking about that, the armor of God. Really powerful scripture. Let's read it together. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take on your stand against the devil's schemes. Verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Verse 13 says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of the evil comes, you may be able to what? Stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to what? Stand. Hallelujah. Standing is a powerful word. Standing is talking about your integrity. Whatever it is that you do, make sure your integrity must be intact. Very important for us. Hallelujah. When we are trusted with a leadership position, we take on a responsibility to continually grow and to dedicate our life to aiming for the goals and the vision of our church or organization. Hallelujah. We are not lords and masters of the ones who we lead. Amen? We are not lords and masters of anybody we're leading. You don't crack a whip to nobody. You lead by example. And they'll see you and they'll follow you. Hallelujah. We are not lords and masters of the ones we lead, but we apply personal and organizational standards that are the best for everybody as described in the vision and the values of our church, which is our organization. Naturally, we accomplish this by while showing respect for the two-way communication which those who have been placed under our care and leadership. I'm seeing some great leadership in this church, and people leading by example. Not trying to force anybody to do anything, but just leading by example, doing things. And people see you go, you know what? I want to do what he's doing. That's great leadership. Naturally, we accomplish this while showing respect for the two-way communication with those who have been, what? Placed under our care and leadership. Just as the leader ought to be serving and taking into account the ideas and the needs of those he or she leads, those following that leader ought to be doing the same thing. Hallelujah. When you lead by example, people will always follow you. I remember when I first came to this church and I sat through this that integrity leadership, and my goodness, I went out there and starting from the simplest things I had to actually do because people were watching you and following you. You raise good leaders by leading by example, not cracking a whip and sending people to do things. Hallelujah. This creates a kind of self-leadership at all levels of group. It promotes a self-leadership environment where all are empowered and working toward the good of the whole because it is in the best interest of all. Hallelujah. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. Hallelujah. We're all here because we love him. I said that before. There was a question that was going around and we're saying, if Jesus was going to leave the church with two people, Peter or Paul, who would he leave the church to? And I said, Peter, because Peter said he loved God. He loved Jesus. He said, you know I love you. You leave something with somebody who loves you. We are here because we love Jesus. We love God. We love what he does. We love what he has done for us. It's just because of him that we're doing what we're doing. Amen. All of us are here, and we always say it's not about us, it's about him. Hallelujah. And as I said, it promotes a self-leadership environment where all are empowered, working toward the good of all because it is the best interest of all. All leadership in every field or endeavor are looking for people to promote. Therefore, there are never enough good people available who are able to fill the leadership, who are able to fill the leadership vacancies at higher levels. You know what? I'm excited about our ordination. You know, my life has become all of a sudden really good now. When I took this job, there was all this question about, am I the right person for this job? I told you I did Gideon, I did Sam, I did everything on God, and all the characters that was in the Bible who God actually chose, you know, Moses and Joshua and all those guys. I did the same thing as they did. And look, every one of us, they're just like us. They were not some kind of high-powered people operating in some highly spiritual people. They're just normal people like yourselves and me. And so on Sunday, I was quite overwhelmed by those that we've ordained, installed in our deacons, to our elders, to all our pastors. Amazing. I mean, I was talking to Papa Joe, and he's still overwhelmed, but we've been 7 years. I mean, and we've got people in great positions in church who are able to do the job now. My job has become easy. One of our greatest saying in this church is, you being great takes nothing away from me. I want to work myself out of this job. Not yet. But it'll come a time where one of you will be taking this church. Amen? You, of all people sitting in this place today, insignificant to the eyes of men, are so significant to God. God is looking at you going, you know what? Pastor Nick will be taking this church one day. He's sitting there right now, cutting sandwiches and doing stuff up there. You know, the town drunk can be your pastor in the church one day, and you'll be surprised. Hallelujah. Ooh, I was studying Bible college, and how come this town drunk? No, it's not about how much you know about God. It's your character. It's your gifts, and it's your skills, and it's your passion to actually be saying, all right, God. One thing I learned about God is this. Don't try to be somebody who knows everything. I don't know anything. I just leave it to God to deal with everything. That's why my life is so easy. People want us to know everything about Scripture and want to know everything, and they want to argue Scripture and do all this stuff. And I said, listen, just want to have a cup of tea and prepare my message and preach on Sunday, okay? You want some prayer? I'll pray with you. But don't come sit here and argue with gospel over some... anyway. One day, you will be standing here preaching to a crowd of people, and you go, wow. And so we were so overwhelmed by what God has done. And now, the vacancies are being filled up inside the church. Papa Joe came up with an amazing plan, and I was so excited. Even my life even got even easier and easier. The stress level started to drop just from listening to that plan. It was a great plan. I said, Papa Joe, now we can go ahead and put this plan into strategy. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 50, verse 15 to 20. It says, when Joseph's brother saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? So they sent word to Joseph saying, hallelujah, your father left those instructions before he died. Really strong instructions. Now listen, your father said, this is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please, forgive the sins of the servants of God, of the God of your father. Hallelujah. When the message came to Joseph, the Bible says Joseph wept. Verse 18 says, and his brothers, when they came and threw themselves down before him and said, we are your slaves, they said. Verse 19, but Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Oh, I like that. You are never in the place of God to try and put judgment on anybody. As a leader, you never place yourself in the same place as God. Joseph understood that. He says, am I in the place of God? I'm not here to judge you. That's why I was preaching on correction. You can bring correction, but never bring judgment to people. Hallelujah. Because all of us will be stand accountable to everything we do. But you have all the right to correct somebody as a leader in the church. See the wrongs that they're doing, pull them aside and correct them. And if they don't want to listen, the Bible says, and then you give them to the devil, dust your feet and see what happens. Hallelujah. God's correction methods are so powerful. When I leave somebody for God to deal with, God really deals with them. Joseph said, am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Hallelujah. Joseph was able to unconditionally forgive his brothers. In Psalms chapter 105, verse 16 to 19. Hallelujah. It says, and he called down famine on the land and destroyed all their supplies of food. And he sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as slave. They bruised his feet with shackles, his neck was put in irons. Verse 19, till what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord tested Joseph. Now, the word of the Lord should be the only thing that must prove you right. Amen? All of us always want to go and prove ourselves to be right or prove us. You don't have to do that. Just let the word of God do that. The word of God will test you, and the word of God will what? Prove him true. Whatever you say, the word of God will always be your witness in everything you do. Hallelujah. When we receive a vision from the Lord, we will usually go through a time of testing to cleanse our hearts, to make sure that we are able to fulfill the God-given vision. Anybody going through some testing right now? Amen? You know, one thing that I said to Brendan, I said to him, listen, stop giving glory to the devil. Stop blaming the devil for everything. Everybody should just shut up and say, God, what are you taking me through right now and what are you teaching me? When you do that, you are giving glory to God. The devil gets glory for everything that he's not even doing. God allows you to go through some testing. Oh, it's the devil right now. And he gets all the glory because he's a liar and a thief and he's not doing it, but he's still getting glory for it. So stop blaming the devil and stop giving him all the glory. Your words must now change. If you're going through some things and some testings, go, God, I know you're doing this. I know you're allowing this to happen. So what is it that you're doing? Listen. Job never blamed the devil. He never did. People came and said, curse God and die. Even his wife said that. And all three other preachers were trying to preach him out of his little self-pityness. He said, no. All of you go away. God's doing something, so I'm just going to stay and ask him. What's happening? Job is one of the greatest examples of a person that didn't blame God or even didn't blame the devil. So all of us must stop doing that. Once you start changing the way you think and the way you talk, and what's the blessing of God come, what's things start to happen in your life? Stop giving him glory. He doesn't deserve any of it. Even the tough times you're going through, he doesn't deserve that. Devil never created death. God did. Death came from God. He created everything. Devil is just a counterfeit guy that likes to claim everything. He even likes to claim your problems. I'm the one that's doing it right now. Shut up. God's taking me through some stuff. You start changing the way you think and talk and you watch your life go. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 41, verse 51 to 42. 42. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, it is because God has made me what? Forget all my trouble and all my father's household. Verse 52, and he said, and the second son he named what? Ephraim. and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of suffering." Now listen to this. This is a principle. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget what? All my troubles and all my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." Manasseh means God has enabled me to forget. And Ephraim means doubtly fruitful. The forgiving came first. And when the forgiving happened, the fruit came. Hallelujah. Principles. That's how you live your life. Forgive. Jesus said what? He taught us how to pray, and he put some really key principles in the prayer, with the Lord's Prayer. And he says, "Our Father," what? "Who art in heaven," you up there, in heaven, not on earth. "Your kingdom come as it is in heaven." We want your kingdom to be here on earth. In other words, we're living the kingdom of God on earth. Then he says, what's the next line? "Give us this day our daily bread." Provision. Everything you need, God provides. And then he says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And the other one says, "Forgive those who," what? "Trespass against us." These are the key principles. If you're a person that, if people say, "Oh, we live by grace, 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 grace," God still wants you to forgive people. Because it doesn't change, it's just principles. When you're a person that walks in forgiveness, you watch the fruit come. That's a principle of God right there. Joseph forgave, the fruits came. When you're walking in forgiveness every time, fruits will always follow you. Money will run after a person that walks in forgiveness. See, some of the principles that we think, "Oh, give and it shall be given back to you." No, it says forgive. Forgive people. Walk in forgiveness. Walk in humility. Walk blameless and watch all those things run after you. Hallelujah. I'm just going to close here by giving some principles on the spirit of leadership. When I was reading that scripture, I've got a copy of it, and I'll get it photocopied for you guys. Jovita, is the printer upstairs working? We might do that later, but if you want to, I'm just going to go through this quickly. These are some of the principles I want to add on to this session. So I'll keep this here for you to photocopy, and then you can get some copies for yourself. Hallelujah. When I was praying over the pastors on Sunday, and God spoke about Joshua, when Moses said to God, "God, you are the God of the spirit and of the flesh," and he said, "You choose the leader that's going to lead us into the promised land." And God chose Joshua, and he said, "This is a man, he has the spirit." In other words, he's got the spirit of leadership. Now, spirit of leadership is a powerful thing. You know, it's all about our attitude. Everything that we do is actually based on your attitude. And the essence of leadership, again, is not techniques for controlling and manipulating people, which seem to be popular in leadership training today. All colleges, courses, business, administration, you may take all the leadership methods that you learn and all the management seminars that you attend can give you information, but they cannot develop you into real leaders. It cannot. The essence of leadership is not techniques. It is your attitude. One of the things I learned is attitude. You can be the greatest gifted person, but if your attitude stinks, nobody will hire you. Nobody will employ you. Hallelujah. True leadership is an attitude that naturally inspires and motivates others. And it comes from an internalized discovery about yourself. That's why I talk about purpose all the time. You cannot learn an attitude. If someone learns an attitude, it's called what? Conditioning or mere mental assent. That's not leadership. You can condition an animal to do something by rewarding or threatening it with an external result. But an attitude is a perspective, a motivation, or a desire that comes from within. And it's not based on temporary external consequences. Your attitude must be really, really different and good, a great attitude. It is something deeply personal and internal, that influences, that transforms your thinking about yourself and your ability, value, self-worth, self-esteem, outlook on life, actions, and perceptions of others. When I got this job, I was asking so many questions, but my attitude about my leadership was the same. I had an attitude that said, I may be a sheep, but I can think like a lion. Amen? I may look like some nice guy, but I can be tough and strong and have another kind of attitude altogether. Hallelujah. As you know, the Bible, and Solomon was a great teacher on that. He says, as you think, you shall be that person. Whatever a man, thinks in his heart, so shall he. Your attitude is the one that will develop you into a great leader. Learning about leadership and knowing what it means to be a leader are two different things. You can learn, but knowing is another thing altogether. Knowing that you can do that. Knowing that you can be a great leader. Learning comes from education, while knowing comes from revelation. Amen. When God chose Joshua, that was revelation. God said, that man doesn't have anything at all. But I like his attitude, because when he went over to that promised land, he saw something. Aaron had one of the greatest attitudes. He came to Joshua and he said, Caleb. Caleb said to Joshua, he said, listen, remember the 40 years that you and I have been walking around in the desert with those guys? All of this unbelievable generations of our fathers that are in there. Remember you and I went there, and when we came back, we said, we can do that, and they still didn't believe. Well, I'm sick and tired. I'm just paraphrasing what Caleb would be saying. Now, I'm tired of this. It's great attitude. I'm tired, but I still got strength. He said, you guys want the flat land? Get it. Give me that mountain. Give me that. Caleb's attitude was, I don't care how old I am. I am still going to get that mountain, because I'm tired of walking around in the desert for 40 years. And he said, remember that in the scripture, he said, he was reminding Joshua. Joshua, you remember that you and I went out there, and when we came back, still we have this strength. Give me that mountain. Hallelujah. That's a great attitude. Amen. All of us should have that attitude. People look at you and go, yeah, it's no, inside there's a lion. A sheep outside, but a lion's inside. Hallelujah. Learning, you learn something, but knowing it's from God. Deep inside of you, you know you can do that. When I was questioning God, I said, God, can I put the fleece out? And if it's wet, then, I'm doing the Gideon. And then I think God, and all of it was happening in my heart. God said, just have to have that attitude. Know that you can do it. Hallelujah. I have this thing where I used to remove people. If I see a vision, I remember when I was listening to a drummer in the music. I mean, this is the simplest explanation of attitude I can give you. I listened to my favorite band, and I listened to the drummer. And then suddenly I drift off into this amazing vision where I take the drummer out and I place myself there. So in my own mind, I'm actually listening to me playing. That's the kind of attitude I had. That's why when I go to do something in some of those bands that people have to do auditions to go to, I just get a call to go and do it. Because I have a great attitude that says, I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. Knowing something is spiritual. You do not really change until you know something. Knowing changes your mind, which transforms your attitude, which in turn informs and directs and regulates your behavior. When you know something, you are a dangerous person to the devil. When you have a revelation of God, that's why you know who you are in Christ Jesus. When you know who you are in Christ Jesus, you become a great leader. Nothing can move you. Nothing can push you. King Solomon, the wisest and the richest man on this day, who essentially said, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Amen. What a person thinks in his heart is what will ultimately come out of his actions. However, the challenge is knowing how to change one's attitude. We have a thing in PNG where we want to develop our cities and develop our communities, but our people's attitude are the last thing that has to be changed. When people's attitude change, the community will change. You can dress it up and do all sorts of things with your community, your city, your church, but if the people's attitude doesn't change, If the people in the church don't think like lions, then we're in trouble. Amen. We're not going to achieve all the visions and all the great mission that Christ has given us, or the vision of this church, or the vision or mission of this church. We're not going to do it because people don't have the right attitude. And so it comes back to my saying when we first started this session here, when you preach the word of God, it is really changing people. And the word is changing people. You will draw people with great attitude. People that come and join your church or join our church or come and be part of what God is doing have great attitudes. All of you sitting here have got amazing attitudes, great attitude. And you see what our church has been like. The anointing has been there. I went to Martin and Pollyanna's house on Sunday, and I just want to finish with this to encourage you. I don't gauge the spiritual level of a church in Australia. I go back to PNG to gauge where we are. If I want to gauge where we are in spirit, I can't do it here. I have to go back to my home in PNG and see where the people are. And I was so encouraged by my Martin and Pollyanna when they said to me, Pastor, there's our little fellowship at home. Our pastor is just a nobody. No Bible college training. He wanted to go and study in the Bible college, and their own father, who's actually a principal of a Bible college, discouraged him. This is a principal of a Bible college saying to the young man, no. If you go to the Bible college, you'll kill yourself spiritually. I'm not discouraging Bible college. I'm just telling you that nothing they teach there is what the Holy Spirit teaches. The school of the Holy Spirit is amazing. And they said that young man is just a nobody. But when he preached, and the worship and the word of God that comes, it was just the level was just amazing. And they compared it when they came to this church. You know, for me, that's gauging where we are in the spirit. That's why I'm encouraging you. Whatever you're doing with the music, whatever you're doing with your life, serving up there. See, everything that we do here is an anointing on it. God breathes his anointing upon everything we do. So the level, you're not going to gauge it because you're in it. But people from the outside will come. There's something about this church. And they say it all the time. But as a pastor of the church, I was encouraged by my elders that have been home. And they come back and say, Pastor, keep going. Whatever that is and wherever that place you are at and whatever you're bringing, keep going. I said, thank you, Lord. That's all I need. Because we didn't have fathers to speak into our lives when we took the church. Fathers to guide us and say, son, you're on the right path. Keep going. I cannot gauge to other fathers, but I'm gauging to the elders whose father has been there, done that. And so I'm really encouraged about that. Now, that's a great attitude to have when you know that we're doing something right in God. Don't change anything. Just get into the place of prayer. Get into the place of walking in blameless and righteousness and walking in forgiveness. All those really key principles of walking as people of God that we take for granted sometimes. Hallelujah. If attitude transformation were simple, then many of us would have changed a number of times during our lifetime. Most of us are not leaders today because in our hearts, we don't believe it, that we don't believe who we are. There's a lion inside of us, but we think we are sheep. Hallelujah. But the moment you start to say, you know what, I am a lion. And then, you know, there's a story of the lion that grew up amongst the sheep in a village in Africa. And the lion started to think it was a sheep. So it was going over the sheep and eating grass with them and doing all the kind of stuff. It was just playing like a sheep. And as it grows, his features started to change. And the other sheep, even the other sheep didn't even recognize that he was a lion. They think he was a sheep, so you know, they all just playing together. And one day, that lion went across to the river and looked down and saw his own features and got a shock. And he jumped up and he was really frightened of what he saw. And from the day forth, he heard a roar in the jungle. And this big lion comes out and started to roar. And the lion was actually, what do you call it, blaring like a sheep? Nah. There's a lion there. But it was, and then it was like the other lion, the mother lion, was actually trying to get him to roar out like a real lion. And finally, he did, and he scared himself. He frightened himself by what he did. And so when you come to a place of knowing that you're a lion, sometimes you'll frighten yourself. You scare yourself and go, wow, did I really do that? Did I really, you know, is this what's happening to me right now? Hallelujah. Most of us are not leaders today because in our hearts we don't believe that we are lions inside. Hallelujah. Your future and abilities to succeed aren't tied to what others think of you. They're tied to what you think of yourself. Amen. That's a really good thing to think about. It's your attitude. Your attitude must be always different. I was a kid that was growing up with this different attitude. I don't hang around with people. This is what I used to do. I don't hang around with negative people. If I'm trying to achieve something and there are people always saying, oh, you can't do that, I walk away from these people. I go away from them because my attitude is different. I said, well, who says I can't do that? I'm going to go and do it. When I was in high school and I said, when all my friends were getting ready for graduation in high school, they said to me, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to travel the world. They said, you got to get a job, save up money, and go and travel the world. I said, no, I'm going to go and join a famous band. That was my attitude. And that famous band took me around the world. Achieved my dream. When I was sitting in that bus going in Germany, I was pinching myself. I did it. Suddenly, that confidence inside of me came up. And I've played, I'm the closest example I can share with you, so I want to encourage you. I did gigs in some of the greatest drummers would come up and say, wow, we really, and I play simple. I just, when I get up there, I'm a different person on stage. And so I remember doing a show in Sydney in a place called, I forgot the name of that place. But Tina, you remember Tina Turner? Her drummer was there. And she watched the whole show and then he rushed at the back and he said, who is that guy that played drums for your band? He was asking my manager. And my manager was so proud. He said, this is one of the greatest drummer asking about my drummer in my band. So my manager was really proud. He came and says, Ben, I said, what? You get the greatest compliment from Tina Turner's drummer. I said, who? You know Tina? Yeah, I know Tina Turner. Well, the drummer was out there. He watched you play. He says, man, you got so much pocket in you, he says. I said, what pocket? Space, solid, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I thought, yeah. But that's the great attitude. My attitude was always like that. I can do things better than any one of these guys, even though if I can do it. Now, that's a good way of thinking as a leader. Amen? The source of your attitude is your mindset and thoughts. That really is what the spirit of leadership is all about. The leadership of the spirit and the spirit of leadership, two different things. There's a distinction between the leader or the leadership spirit and the spirit of leadership. You and I have the spirit of leadership. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of leadership. He's the one living inside of us right now. So have that attitude of that lion and top all of that with the integrity and see what God's going to do with this church. I am excited about all our pastors that have ordained, they've been ordained, all our elders have been installed. We are looking forward to 2020. It's going to be a great year for us. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the lessons. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for your word. Lord, your word is doing the cleaning. Your word is doing the transformation. And all we do is we come around your word. Share your word and let the spirit of the word ignite that fire inside of our lives and our hearts and our spirit and draw and bring out that lion, oh God, that's inside that sheepskin. Hallelujah. Father, we know there's wolves in sheep's clothing, but we are lions in sheep's clothing, ready to come out, Father. And Father, we thank you. I bring your people, all the amazing men and women that are leaders in this church. Father, we thank you. I pray that the spirit of leadership with that attitude will be always with them. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you yourself, you are the one that is the spirit of leadership. You are the one that will ignite the fire inside of us and guide us, Father. Lord, on top of all that, we ask you to watch our integrity and our character. protect us, Father, from things that we may do, that we may look at each other and even, Lord, watch over each other's back as well, because we are our brother's keeper. Lord, I pray and I bring everyone before you. Thank you for this session. As we look forward to our next session, we bring this time to a close. I pray and give you praise. We give you honor, give you glory. In the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua Mashiach, we pray. All God's people said, amen. Hallelujah.